I'd like you to turn with me to scripture in the Old Testament and one in the New. Book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 16. I'm going to have to read a little bit to give the sense. Verse 11. We'll start at verse 11. And Aaron shall present the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make atonement for himself, for his house, and shall slaughter the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take the censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before Jehovah, and both his hands full of fragrant incense, beaten small, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before Jehovah, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat, which is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle with his finger upon the front of the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood 7 times with his finger. He shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat, and he shall make atonement for the sanctuary, cleanse it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and from their transgressions, in all their sins, and so shall he do for the tent of meeting, which dwelleth among them, in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tent of meeting when he goeth in to make atonement in the sanctuary, until he come out. He shall make atonement for himself, for his house, and for the whole congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar which is before Jehovah, and make atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the goat, put it on the horns of the altar round about. He shall sprinkle upon it of the blood with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleannesses of the children of Israel. The last verse, 34. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make atonement for the children of Israel, to cleanse them from all their sins once a year. And he did as Jehovah had commanded Moses. Now in Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, without law, righteousness of God is manifested, borne witness to by the law and the prophets, righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ, towards all and upon all those who believe. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood, the showing forth of his righteousness in respect, the passing by the sins that had taken place before through the forbearance of God, for the showing forth of his righteousness in the present time, so that he should be just and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus. You'll forgive me for reading a bit of scripture, but to get the sense of what I want to speak, I feel led to speak to you this evening a little about the mercy seat. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the type of the mercy seat. So I would like to consider for a moment or two what God had to say about the mercy seat. And the most important thing that I notice in Leviticus 16 is that the blood, the shed blood, had to be sprinkled on and before and at the side of the mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat was in the centre of the tabernacle system. It was the Ark of the Covenant, and upon that was placed the mercy seat of solid gold. And that is where God spoke. God spoke to the children of Israel from off, or spoke to Moses from off the mercy seat. And it's very interesting that it should be called a mercy seat, not called a seat of judgment. We see in Revelation a seat of judgment, the great white throne. But here we have a mercy seat, a place where God could dwell amongst his people and show mercy. Mm. But it was mercy shown in righteousness. Mm. Because in order for God to show mercy to the priest and to the whole nation of Israel, whole people of Israel, blood had to be shed. Mm. The blood of a goat and a bullock and so on. So the priest, the high priest, had to make atonement for himself and then for the people. And God, in mercy, had the idea and showed forth his mercy for another year. Every year this was to be done. Now, the old economy could never do what Christ personally has done. In its best, it had to be done once a year. So every year, the people had to wait for the Day of Atonement so that God could go on another year with his people. Now, I think it's wonderful. The grace of God that he should have set up, devised and planned a system whereby he could go on with his people from year to year, and it was not without the shedding of blood. And we know, as a principle, God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So that, in order for God to be able to go on another year with his people, there had to be blood shedding. And it had to be put on the mercy seat. It could not be an effective mercy seat without blood being put on it. And I think that's another important thing to see. Without the shedding of blood, without blood being put on the mercy seat, God would have had no righteous basis to go on with his people. In other words, in order for them to live, an animal had to die. Mm. And all of these things speak to us in type of the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Mm. That's why I started with Leviticus 16. Now, I can't go through and open up to that chapter and these verses, but merely to draw your attention to the fact that God, even then, had a way of salvation, of preserving his people, of being able to go on with them. But it was year by year, and it was totally dependent on that one day, what happened on that one day, the Day of Atonement. And it says, the last verse of the chapter, to make atonement for the children of Israel, to cleanse them from all their sins once a year. Now, we have something much better to speak to you about. That is wonderful that God had this righteous basis to go on with his people another year because of that Day of Atonement when atonement was made for their sins. Now, we are living in a time when the Lord Jesus has been here, has suffered and died. And it's very, very interesting, isn't it, that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, should speak of the mercy seat. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. God has set forth this principle, this way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The mercy seat here speaks of the person and work of the Lord Jesus. He had to come here and he suffered and died and made an eternal redemption. In other words, whereas in the old dispensation, the Day of Atonement had to be repeated every year, for God to be able to go on with his people. The Lord Jesus, having come, has founded an eternal redemption once and for all. It doesn't now need once a year an atonement to be made, because Christ has done it all. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the shedding of his blood, has found an eternal redemption. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Redemption, my dear friends, is in none other than the person of the Lord Jesus and his work on Calvary's cross. How much he suffered, how much he bore, how dreadfully he was treated is something which sobers us. But the wonderful thing He went this way to secure you and to secure me for God. He went this way. He suffered and died once and for all. So not every year now does the Day of Atonement have to take place. But once it has done, it's been done. Christ our Passover, that's another thought, has been slain. The Lord Jesus has done this. The redemption in him has been achieved. The Lord Jesus has suffered and died. Now God can set him forth, or it says set forth a mercy seat. The Lord Jesus Christ is set forth by God as a mercy seat, as a way of forgiveness, as a person in whom you and I may be forgiven. So how wonderful is it not now that the gospel of the grace of God can go out to every man, woman and child alive on earth today, and that each one could be saved in the power of his person and work. So that is what God has done from his side. God has set forth Christ as a mercy seat. There is no other way you can be saved. There's no other way you can have your sins forgiven but by the Lord Jesus Christ. No other religion dares to forgive sins, but the Lord Jesus Christ has power to do so. And it's power on earth. God sets forth Christ as a mercy seat. I think it's the most wonderful thing that it's not a seat of judgment, it's a seat of mercy. At the present moment, the Lord Jesus is set forth as a mercy seat. And it's through faith in his blood. So you have to, it is very specific. Salvation is not general, it's not just a question of believing in God. That's all very fine and well. And that's a start, don't get me wrong. But it's specific, it's faith in the Lord Jesus. It's not just faith in God. It's, Paul preached, as he said, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus. So here we have, he's been set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. You need to see that the Lord Jesus had to die for you. He had to die for me. Because of my sin, because of who I am and what I am by nature, the Lord Jesus had to die. So God is setting forth a mercy seat, but we have to have a specific faith in his blood. You have to see that sacrifice was totally necessary for you and for me. If we were to come into blessing, if I'm to come into the blessing that God would offer, it has to be by faith in the blood. It's specific, and it's one way only of salvation. So that is God's terms. And also, not only is he showing, setting forth Christ, but he's showing his righteousness. God is perfectly righteous. He was righteous through the death of Christ in passing by the sins that had gone before. I don't think for a moment God is ignoring them, but God is pointing on to Christ. And now in our day, he's righteous for the showing forth his righteousness in the present time, that he should be judged and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus. So God is perfectly just in what he's done. He set forth Christ as a mercy seat through his person and work, the person and work of Jesus, so that he's perfectly right at the present time in justifying you or me as we put our faith and trust and belief in Jesus of our sins. I think that's marvellous. So that he should be just and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus. God is perfectly just in what he's done, and he's perfectly just in forgiving you your sins because of what Jesus has done. So it's a question of putting your faith in trust in Jesus. It's specific. You believe in God, you repent towards God, that you put your faith and trust in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is very simple, but it takes away man's self-esteem. People like to think they can do something to merit or deserve salvation. And you'll find that down through the ages, there have been people that have set aside the grace of God because they wanted to be able to earn or deserve or merit their salvation. And Romans makes it pretty clear from the beginning that we have no merit in ourselves whatsoever, rather the opposite. So God, in grace, is able to do this and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus. So as we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified, reviewed by God as not having sinned, made just. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. God justified them on the ground of faith. So us too. But because the Lord Jesus has suffered and died, it's in him we put our faith and trust. So the gospel is very simple. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to put your faith and trust in Jesus? Are you going to find him as a mercy seat? Are you going to know God as a pardoning God? We sometimes sing, who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? Or are you going to turn aside and say, no, I'm going to try and make myself better? How futile that is. People today do not believe in God. So many around us have no understanding of who God is or what he stands for. But through grace, through his word, and through the gospel, you can have an understanding of God and a right relationship with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. May it be your happy portion, as it's mine, his name's.